One ACA Navigator is there to assist consumers in making their own enrollment decisions. So a Navigator is not an insurance agent. A Navigator is not going to tell you what plan to select. But a Navigator is there to assist you at no charge to you in figuring out what's best for you and your family or your small business. A Navigator is also trained to assist small businesses in getting enrolled in coverage through healthcare.gov. And the Navigators are not allowed to steer people towards products. They're not allowed to have conflicts of interest, so no Navigator agency is going to have any kind of business relationship or financial relationship with an insurance company. And the Navigator is essentially there to kind of hold your hand and answer your questions and make sure you can navigate successfully healthcare.gov and get yourself or your small business enrolled.
So I can only imagine that the last few weeks with trying to get this troubled website off the ground has been, it's really meant a lot of headaches for you and for the people who come to you seeking some answers on healthcare coverage.
Well, there's no question about that. It's certainly not ideal to have the enrollment tool not working. But part of the job of a Navigator is not just enrolling people in coverage or assisting people in getting themselves enrolled, but also getting out into the community and explaining how all of this works and all the new plans that are available and how the copays and deductibles work and tax credits work and tax subsidies. And, of course, we assist consumers in their attempts to get enrolled. It's much more complicated process because the website isn't working properly, but we're being told by the federal government that those issues will be resolved soon. And we are seeing anecdotal evidence that the website is being fixed over time. So we've been focusing on paper applications, letting people fill out paper applications to begin that process. It doesn't end the process, but it begins the process in that it gets the government working on doing a determination on your eligibility for a tax credit or a tax subsidy. But again, that doesn't resolve the whole process. The person just gets a determination letter in the mail telling them what they're eligible for, and then they have to go back to the website and make a selection. So not ideal, much longer than necessary. But again, there are hopeful signs. We are seeing signs that the website is actually starting to work properly.
How do people find a Navigator?
Well, there are four Navigator agencies in Michigan, but our agency is the only statewide Navigator. So we have created a statewide network that we're calling Enroll Michigan, and we've created a website called enrollmichigan.com. So essentially it's one-stop shopping for any consumer anywhere in the state trying to find a Navigator that can assist them in answering their questions and helping them get enrolled at no cost to them. There's other types of assisters called certified application counselors that are also out there. They might be more local to you than a Navigator, depending where you live. You might be in a rural area. So those are available as well, and you can also access those at enrollmichigan.com.
Don, what questions are you getting from consumers? I have to imagine question A is, how much is this going to cost me?
Yeah, well, obviously consumers are very concerned about cost and affordability, and as they should be. You know, we try to stress that if you're under 400% of the federal poverty limit, there are lots of tax credits and tax subsidies available to make purchasing insurance more affordable, particularly if you're under 200% of the federal poverty limit, because there's cost-sharing subsidies available as well. So that means there's a lot of support out there to make purchasing insurance more affordable. So you shouldn't be frightened off by the sticker price. You know, you see a sticker price on a policy and you think, gee, I can't afford that. Well, that's before you apply all the tax credits and subsidies. And at 400% of the federal poverty limit, for a family of four, that's $94,200 adjusted gross income. So that's basically a six-figure salary before you apply all your tax deductions come tax time. So that's a big chunk of the American middle class that's going to be eligible for tax credits and cost-sharing subsidies. So it's really important that you understand the big picture. Don't get hit with a sticker shock if you see a monthly premium you can't afford. If you're below 400% of the federal poverty limit, odds are you're going to be receiving assistance. It could be substantial assistance to make purchasing that plan affordable to you.
There's no clear-cut answer when someone says, how much does it cost? Because there's so many variables that determine what that sticker price might be, right?
Yeah, absolutely. But I think what's encouraging, very encouraging, is we have lots of competition in this state. We've got 13 different insurance companies selling plans on our marketplace, healthcare.gov. So that's exciting. That's a lot of competition, a lot of transparent competition. So the average person here in Michigan is going to have 42 different healthcare plans to choose from. So when they go to healthcare.gov, they're going to have lots of options to look at. You know, some people are saying, well, there's lots of plans with these really high deductibles. Yeah, and there's lots of plans with no deductibles and lots of plans with medium deductibles. And then really it's about consumer choice and figuring out what's right for you.
When I see the report from Health and Human Services that of the first month of the ACA rollout, and we see only 1,329 people in Michigan actually got enrolled, mm-hmm. are we going to be able to get everybody in by March, or do you think there needs to be an extension?
Well, again, it comes down to getting the enrollment tool fixed. It's really not an issue. It's not a case that people don't want to be enrolled in coverage. It's that they literally can't get themselves enrolled. And a lot of the folks that are getting enrolled are doing so because they're just really determined and they keep their head down and they're determined. And some of them go onto the website at midnight or 3 o'clock in the morning hoping to get themselves enrolled and they have some success. That's not the way to run a railroad. We all know that. The president has apologized. I think everybody involved in that process has apologized. We need to do a lot better than that. So if the website is up and running come December 1, hopefully we will have sufficient time to get everyone enrolled. I think there are going to have to be some policy decisions made as far as maybe extending deadlines if they can't get that website up and running properly.
Yes.
Very soon, but of course that's not a decision I get to make.
Well, Don, one of the big criticisms about healthcare.gov, apart from the fact that it didn't work, was you had to get all registered before you could shop. If I go to Travelocity, I can price my flights right out of the gate before I sign up and register. Will that be turned around because people haven't really been able to price what's on the exchange?
Well, the idea here was that people would want to know if they're eligible for tax credits and cost-sharing subsidies before they shop, because that gives them the accurate picture of what they're actually paying. So I think the idea was sound, that people go ahead and put in the application, get a determination. But the problem is that was supposed to happen in real time. You weren't supposed to ask for that determination on paper, and then it takes weeks for them to mail a determination back to you. So I mean, we just have to concede the fact that the enrollment tool isn't working,
right.
And that's what's creating all these problems. And we need to get the enrollment tool fixed and working.
What are some of the other questions you're getting from consumers?
Oh, we get the whole gamut of questions, and we also we're dealing with a lot of I don't want to say scams, but people who are trying to misdirect consumers and give consumers very bad advice, and we're trying to make sure consumers understand there's only one tool, and that is healthcare.gov for you to go to shop, get the full spectrum of plans available to you, and then access these tax credits and subsidies. So there are other websites being created. But if you shop at those websites, you're not, in all likelihood, going to be able to access these tax credits to make purchasing insurance more affordable, and you may end up with inferior coverage as well. So we're encouraging people not to be diverted to other websites. I know it's tempting because healthcare.gov isn't working, and then other folks are marketing other websites. It's tempting to go to their website, but we encourage you not to. If someone's trying to divert you away from healthcare.gov, it's for a reason, and it's not in your interest to be diverted away from it.
Finally, Don, what do you say to those critics who argue that the healthcare.gov rollout is just one more example, that the Affordable Care Act is a bad law?
Well, we can't confuse a website with the Affordable Care Act. They're not the same thing at all. The Affordable Care Act is a massive law that has been implemented over years. So, for example, young adults under the age 26 could be on their parents' insurance right now. Older Americans in the donut hole are having their prescription drugs subsidized right now because of the Affordable Care Act. So we need to differentiate between a website and the Affordable Care Act, which is doing a lot of good for consumers in a lot of different ways and has been for a number of years. For another example, no child in America can be kicked off their insurance right now due to a pre-existing condition. That's because of the Affordable Care Act. Again, the Affordable Care Act is not a website. Now, when they rolled out Medicare Part D, there were all kinds of problems with that website, too, and it took a while for them to fix all the glitches. So it's not surprising that there were glitches. I think what's surprising is that it's taking longer than anyone expected for them to isolate those glitches and fix them.
Don Hazer, thank you so much for talking with us today.
Thank you for having me.